Thanks for downloading this episode of the John Curley and Jake Skorheim Show. Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest. The best place to watch all your favorite sports. Featuring wall-to-wall viewing screens, six windows, and 30 kiosks. Be there at emeraldqueen.com.
Yeah, you're listening to Cairo News. This thing we call Newstainment. Andrew, I can't remember. Is it? It's a combination of two things, if memory serves me correctly.
It's a combination of news and entertainment.
News and entertainment. That's right. Jake, you're ready to go? A combination of news and entertainment. That's what we're going to do. You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go. Diving in the news. All righty. Coming up at a little after 3, Pride of Tahoma High School. Goes there, he's a bear, then he goes on to Pepperdine. And then he wants to be a lawyer, but he says, no, I want to make pizzas for a living. So we'll find out from Thomas what he's doing there at King County Council. He's trying to talk some sense into these guys, get them to learn some economics, because they'd like to raise the cost for businesses in unincorporated King County. The government wants to make sure they're all paid $20 an hour, so find out how it went. When he got a chance to do a little bit of a public comment, he comes on at 3:30.
Learn some economics.
Exactly, learn some economics. It was so funny. I called him. I'm talking to him, and he goes, "Yeah, you know, the media really hasn't done much on this." And I think, you know, is it how much of it is it our responsibility to call, and how much of it is their responsibility to call the media and say, "Hey, guys, have you been following this?"
I mean, he's the one running a restaurant, right?
Yeah.
So I would think that he would, yeah. I mean, it's good he's speaking out. It's definitely an issue people are going to care about. It's a lot of money.
Should we call or should they call us? Anybody out there got a problem? Call us. We'll try to solve it for you.
Yeah.
Like if you're a cop in Burien and you get the word that, boy, if they fire the chief, we're going with them. Here's how it works. Burien does not have its own police department. A lot of small cities don't have their own, so they contract out. Sammamish contracts out with King County. Burien contracts out as well. I think it's about 40% of their budget or something like that to pay for the cops. So the city council there in Burien passes this law saying, you know, you got to move people along. You can't have your tents on the sidewalk. Can't block. They got other things in there. But basically, it said, okay, City Council of Burien, the elected officials of Burien, as the people of Burien say, those are our council members. This is what we want. The council comes forward, says, yeah, no tents. So they pass it. Then they, King County comes along, the sheriff's department comes along and says, says we're going to enforce that. So the chief of police there says, yeah, we're not going to enforce it. Well, the county council, they're a Burien city council, is like, wait a minute, you can't not enforce it. We're telling you to enforce it.
What gives him the ability to just say, I'm not going to enforce this specific law? I mean, he doesn't do that with other ordinances or laws, I assume. So why this specific
one? Yes, that is the question, isn't it? Right. So at this point, they're like, okay, then we're going to get rid of you. We passed it. You follow it. The rule is, I can't see anything that shows there's any, you know, bit of air for this. I looked all across the United States. When the small little cities pass laws, it can get challenged. Somebody can take it to court. But the police must just follow the laws that are written. In Eastern Washington, after, was it I-1638 or what it was, the assault weapons ban, there were a bunch of cops, a bunch of sheriffs that in Eastern Washington, we're not going to enforce that. Well, Bob Ferguson came after him on it. So you have to enforce it. I said, we're not going to enforce it. So they claim, you know, various ways around it. But in this case, Burien says, that's our law. Go ahead. We pay you. This is going to be a contract dispute. We pay you. And under our contract, when we pass something, you enforce it.
So just for clarification, too, the city of Burien doesn't have their own police department. They contract with the King County Sheriff's Department, and they provide officers. Because it's not a big enough place. They don't have that funding. So they provide officers. So, but the city of Burien does have the ability to say the chief, we decide who the chief is, and we can ask the chief to leave, or we can hire a new chief at our discretion. And
there
that's what they're trying to do. And these officers now put together this letter for the city. They're saying, we're going to walk if you get rid of this chief. We have the letter. Can I read you some of the statement?
I got Cairo 7 doing some of the heavy lifting.
Good.
Burien is kind of wild right now.
Sydney Moore, a former Burien City Council member, is talking about this letter signed by dozens of Burien police officers that was originally posted to the B-Town blog.
You don't see our police force get involved in politics much.
In the letter, officers say they are extremely disappointed that the city is requesting to remove Ted Bowe as the chief of Burien PD. It also states the letter is an express vote of no confidence in city manager Adolfo Bailon or Mayor Kevin Schilling. The city of Burien and King County have been in an ongoing dispute over the city's anti-camping ordinance. The new law prohibits camping in certain protected and designated zones around the city. Since its passage, the King County Sheriff said officers would not enforce the ordinance. And since the sheriff's office oversees BPD through the interlocal agreement, Bowe hasn't been enforcing it. Mayor Schilling said in part in a statement, quote, "For years we've heard from the police about the shortcomings of county service providers and the need to get drugs and public camping under control. Then with a council that wants to do that in place, we're now in this scenario where the sheriff is not enforcing those laws." Chief Bowe declined our request for an on-camera interview, saying in a statement, "I am focusing on serving the residents of Burien while this gets resolved." The city of Burien also declined to give us an on-camera interview, but provided us with a statement saying in part, "Burien is very disappointed and concerned by the letter offered by King County police officers in support of Chief Bowe. Burien's concerns with Chief Bowe have existed for a while, but are not personal." And we are still waiting to hear back from the King County Sheriff's Office about this. Reporting live in Burien, Bridget Chavez, Cairo 7 News.
Can I ask you a question, John? Because weren't you on the city council in, you used to live in Issaquah, right?
Sammamish,
that's it. I know it's somewhere over there. So you were on the city council. Were you president or just a member of the city council?
Just a member of city council, just voting against everything.
So I have a small role in my HOA. I'm the president, not a big deal. I understand leadership a little bit. I understand having to make hard choices, mostly with landscaping companies, but you get the idea. It's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
When you were with the city council in Sammamish,
yes.
Did you guys ever have any issues like this, where you had to step in and say, like, hey, the city of Sammamish has their own police force, right?
No, same as Burien.
Same as Burien.
We contracted with King County, yeah.
Did you ever have to step in?
The chief of police was a great guy, and we were the ones that appointed him. He was terrific, and he worked with us all the time on different things. A couple times we had some homeless tents that were put up at a church nearby, and there was a little bit of back and forth on that, but they did enforce these things. But the fact that they don't like the chief. Listen, here's the thing. Here's what we don't know, Jake. Someone up there higher up, whose name rhymes with Bow, and last name rhymes with Blonstantine. I think someone like that, or someone just beneath that individual,
someone
is the
just
one saying,
Blau
"Don't enforce this. Don't enforce this. Don't enforce it." It's part of the homeless industrial complex to keep people dependent upon the government. And they don't like this sort of thing of moving people along. They think it should be okay for people to have tents on public parks and sidewalks and stuff like that.
But what are people in Burien or your time in Sammamish?
They already spoke.
What are they supposed to do? You have the city council. You have the mayor of Burien saying this is a huge problem.
Where's the attorney general? Why don't you have him in there? Come on, Bob.
Well, he's running for something
right now.
Come on, Bob. He's a busy man.
I know, but you can get involved in these things. Come on. There's the city of Burien. They've passed this thing. This guy's not. So they're going to whack the chief of police. They're going to get another chief of police in there. King County has to. It's a good contractual thing. You probably look on that contract. If we pass it, you got to follow it. Probably has somewhere in there. And there's some Latin or something thrown in.
And when you say whack, not like the gangster terms. You mean like just firing? They're just going to
fire
him.
I mean in the gangster terms.
Oh, okay.
Yes. You pick up the hood. You get the trunk of the car. And you get Joe Pesci in there. No, of course not.
We'll see what happens.
There you go. Yeah, for the poor people of Burien.
Wasn't there a Supreme Court case relating to making camping illegal that's going to be heard?
Yes. Yes, they haven't. They heard it, and it's certainly if you look at some of the questions back and forth, they didn't seem necessarily too sympathetic to cities. They haven't made the final ruling on it, but if you read the testimony, little soft on this thing of moving people out of there. But they certainly don't agree with the idea of cruel and unusual punishment, which came from the Ninth Circuit, that you have a right to sleep somewhere. But cities, especially California, is like, please, or you know, states, California, please help us.
And oh my gosh!
With, Oregon, right? All of them.
Crazy.
We got to
do
something about this. So anyway, that's Burien's little mess right now. So we'll see what happens. But I think there's something above it. I asked Jason Rance about it. He's got lots of cop friends and stuff. So I said, is there more to this Burien thing? And he goes, yeah, there's more, but I can't talk to you about it.
That's basically his answer. Meaning. That's his answer to everything. I get that all the time.
No. You know, in all fairness of Rance, sometimes he sneaks a few things out, but he always wants to make sure he's got all the ducks in a row before he breaks it.
First, he wants the exclusive.
Yeah, he gets it on My Northwest, and then we get it.
I thought we're all, what about this teamwork? Aren't we all part of the same team?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, Joe says. Man. All right, graffiti. There's a drone that's going to be able to get in there and spray. Comes flying in. It's got spray in it. It's going to go after all the graffitis in the city. The mayor had asked for a whole bunch of money. The city council knocked down some of the requests because they still are in the hole. They've got a big, big budget hole they have to try to fill. So they say, hey, how about this? How about this idea? If we get in there, we have this drone fly in and spray paint and get rid of it. And that would be a lot better than hiring more people, save more money. What's a drone cost, Jake?
Like, I think it's like 90 grand, right? It's about 90 grand.
That's what Chris was saying. They didn't give an exact number, but a
lot of dough.
Somebody
a lot of
went out there and checked it out today. And he said, yeah, it's about 90 grand, but it's still also in like R&D. They're switching things up.
Chris Sullivan does have a really good article. There's pictures as well. If you want to see what a paint drone looks like on MyNorthwest.com. He talked to this guy who's going to be, you know, doing this pilot program for WashDOT. His name is Mike Gauger. And he says, this is not your average buy at a Costco drone. This is an industrial grade aircraft, 6 foot wingspan, connected to an airless sprayer that's capable of lots of pressure. And it does look really big. I don't know if you've seen the pictures of this yet, John, but it's really, you know, it looks, I don't know if you've ever flown a drone, like, you know, one of the just small RC drones. My sons and I fly these. These are very simple to do, but apparently this drone is not simple. It has like 150 foot hose that hangs down beneath it. I don't know if it's to suck up paint or what it's for, but it's a very difficult thing to fly. And then it can get up into high to reach places and it can, you know, cover up graffiti.
Well, they'd asked for, the mayor had asked for, I don't know, $750,000 for like a graffiti team to go out.
Task force, yeah.
Task force, and then other people to go out there and repaint. Then he wants to have the citizens do it. Everybody's going to get like a little graffiti kit of some sort. They cost $100. He wants to buy a whole bunch of those. I think they said in the budget $100,000 for these little graffiti kits that they can hand out to people or something to go out there and fix the stuff. You could paint it over, get rid of it, but then they just come right back again. It's like you're clearing the canvas for them and giving somebody else to go in there and make it. Hey, thanks a lot for digging out the other tagger's crap.
We got
a fresh piece of canvas here we can work on.
You know, it'd be better. I wish this thing would just almost like a Terminator style, just hover above high traffic graffiti areas and then just spray the graffiti people. Right?
Oh, you mean
just,
like whack 'em or something?
Yeah, like a whack 'em all thing.
Like in the back of an old station wagon and whacking people.
Yeah, well, not whacking them for. Yeah, but yes,
If they, we did the story the other day, Jake, about the robot dog that shoots flames.
Yes, I saw that. Scary, very scary. But same basic idea. This one shoots paint. That one shoots flames. I don't know if this is going to work. I understand how much money they're spending. They're going to spend lots and lots of money on this, but it seems to me it is a pilot program. It's not like they've done it successfully other places. So everybody's kind of watching and waiting to see if we've wasted money on this, which I'm sure.
You have to enforce it, though. Who's that guy, Joe? We talked about that guy. He's got a tattoo of what he normally paints on the wall.
Oh, Eager.
Eager.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they caught him while he was tagging. The police got him. And then I think they charged him with like certain number of hours of community service of going around and cleaning up graffiti.
Right. And then he immediately went and tagged up the bus that crashed into that you know, the girls' skate park or whatever. While he's on probation or whatever he was on, like a couple of days following his arrest.
Right. And like, gosh, let's see if we can figure out who did this. What do you think? Let's see. His name is Eager. Someone has written Eager on the wall.
He's covered in
too easy.
Yeah,
I can't be the same guy.
What do you do with these guys? I mean, like this. I like the drone thing.
Whack them.
I think you probably got to whack them. I think that's the problem. I think everybody just needs to get whacked.
what do you do? You know, the problem is, like, what do you take from somebody like that? Let's say they don't have a whole lot to lose.
I'd start with their paint. Right?
Okay. Well, in the state of Washington, I think you have to be a certain age to buy spray paint.
That's sad. Sad that you, you can't
then
buy.
Only outlaws will have spray paint.
Only outlaws will have it. Yeah. Toilet paper and eggs are the same way. Do you think this is going to work though? Do you think a $90,000 paint drone is going to work, or is this just?
Yeah. That'll save money. But the problem is, you gotta catch somebody. You have to do something with them. You know they're not going to put him in jail.
Purely for covering. I don't think it's going to act as a deterrent.
You know what I did the other day? Because you try to fight these little battles a little bit. You want to clean up your city.
No,
you
want to make sure. Back to you being the president of the HOA.
Well, yes. No. I did this. This actually wasn't related to my HOA responsibilities. Because I don't live in Seattle anymore. But I was I was getting on the exit coming back from the station. And that exit up by Boylston, you know the one on I-5?
Yeah.
There's always a bunch of graffiti there. And I saw two guys, very suspicious, walking out there. They had spray paint cans, and it was high traffic time. They couldn't have cared less that there was cars around. They're just spray painting. Yeah. And so you know what I did? As I drove by, I gave them like a real stern point.
Oh, yeah.
The pointer finger. I just let them know, somebody's watching you. You guys shouldn't do this.
Should have yelled out.
Don't do it again.
Yeah, have it work.
Yeah. I think it worked.
Good job, Jay.
Yeah, nice. Thank you.
And then you could yell this out, too.
I am the law.
There you go. That would work. Good.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and Regenerative Medicine. These are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone-on-bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and down stairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
911, what's your emergency?
Someone on every line said they kidnapped my son.
On September 12, 1995, McKay Everett disappeared from his home in Conroe, Texas.
There was no sign of forced entry. It was just as if McKay had walked out of his own free will.
And to this day, McKay's mother, Paulette, feels that justice was never truly served. Ransom is available now. Listen at ransompodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. Writing to us is good and good for you. 9 out of 10 dentists recommended. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. Although Andrew says don't bother sometimes. Or the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. The 1-888-973-5476.
Minimum wage.
Yeah. Crack that. right, Thomas from Cascadia Pizza. Graduate of Tahoma. Tahoma High School. You went to Pepperdine?
Yes, sir. Go Waves.
Wait a minute. And then you wanted to be a lawyer. Why are you making pizza?
Well, I tell you what, I have a lot more fun than the average lawyer out there.
I guess so. Did you have fun today? You were there testifying. King County Council is looking to increase the minimum wage in unaffiliated King County. I guess it would be out towards your area. Look at all the different locations you have. So what did you say to the guys? What did you tell everybody, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, raising the minimum wage in unincorporated areas is it's a really tough issue. You know, we border the city of Maple Valley. We're about a half a mile outside of it, and so we'd be impacted by this. They want to raise the minimum wage to $20.29, but it would adjust for inflation on day one, so it'd be somewhere north of $21. But what's interesting about it, John, is all of our employees make more than that when you include tips and health care benefits. They average about $29 an hour. So, you know, the city of Seattle, when they raised the minimum wage, I think it was 2015, included that total compensation for tips. And so that's how restaurants have been able to survive in the city and be able to keep prices affordable for consumers. The King County Council is fighting that proposition very hard. Councilmember Dunn has introduced an amendment that would allow for the total compensation, and that's what we came to testify today. Myself and seven of my colleagues and friends and employees came to testify and say, hey, we're making a living wage. Please allow the total tips and healthcare benefits to count toward the minimum wage. So the council is delaying the vote for a week. We'll see what they come back with, and hopefully we can get five folks on the council to support that amendment. Without it, our prices are going to have to increase 30%. We'll close for lunch. And what's interesting is, you know, if you do the math on it, the effective wage of our employees will end up being less than what they're making now because they'll have less hours available to work, and the tip rate is going to just plummet.
Yeah. Jake, I never found out where you are on this minimum wage stuff. Where are you on this?
Well, I actually had a question. I don't think it's a great idea just because I've been following what's been going on down in California. Thomas, was there any discussion? California just recently implemented a similar minimum wage for fast food workers. They raised theirs from, it was like 15 or something. It's now $20 for certain fast food companies. And almost overnight, and it just went into effect, I think, April 1st, right? And almost overnight, they were laying off employees. I think on average, they had to raise their prices something like, you know, 7 to 10%. And then a bunch of it just started going over towards robots, basically. So was that part of the discussion? I mean, because you guys are seeing that in real time. Just they're 2 months ahead of us.
Yeah, right. No, exactly. It's a great point. You know, we've raised that issue, and as well as the third-party delivery app minimum wage that the city of Seattle just introduced at the beginning of the year that they're already trying to backtrack on and amend because they've seen such a drop in DoorDash orders and third-party delivery apps, like 300,000 orders less per month. It's a crazy number. But no, the council, you know, Teresa Mosqueda, you know, will cite studies from the Center for American Progress and other Soros-funded organizations that really are completely biased. But, you know, outside of that, there I've attended three council meetings, two in the tree committee and then now the full council today. There's never been a full discussion as to nonpartisan studies that show the impact of minimum wage. So it just, to me, it shows that it's political. The prime sponsor is going to run for exec next year. And, you know, I think he's trying to shore up some support from the unions, which clearly showed today by all of the union support that came to give public comment. And essentially their only argument now is that tips are racist. So it was really, really just a total U-turn I was not expecting. New argument for me. But, you know, they said
well,
that...
Wait, Thomas. First of all, Thomas, what isn't racist? Let's be honest. But, okay, so tips are racist now. We're working alphabetically down the line. All right, so a wage is a price and a price is a wage. When the price of something goes up, people buy less of it. So you will buy less employees or you will have the employees that you have. You will cut some. You'll cut the hours back on the thing, or you'll be forced to raise the price. They make this argument. Here's their argument. How can anyone possibly afford an apartment or a house or whatever making X amount of dollars an hour? So in order to fix the problem, which is there are no homes that anybody can afford, rather than changing the permitting and zoning and allowing people to build more, they think, well, we'll just put it on the backs of the employer because you guys are all rich, you make a lot of money, and you can afford this. Did anybody make you can afford this argument?
Yeah, I heard someone say that, you know, corporate greed is the real issue here. I'll tell you one thing. Our margins are not in the range of corporate greed. We're a small business. And, you know, with all of the increased costs that we've had over the past few years, I mean, I just renewed our insurance policy. It went up 25%. And that's just for insurance. I could go on and on about all the other costs that we've had to absorb and not and choose not to pass along to the consumer, because we already feel that our prices are there. I'll be honest with you. They're not on the cheap side of things. We're a premium product, and we have to pay for it. And we pay our people a living wage. We contribute to healthcare and all other types of fringe benefits. And so, you know, this is an issue that, you know, they just want to pawn off and say that, you know, this is corporate greed and, you know, all these white business owners, that's what they called us. You know, and it's to me, it's offensive. It's wrong. And there's just no merit to the argument. And so they're classic. They're resorting to these, you know, calls and cries of racism that, I mean, it's just, it's completely unfounded.
Hey, explain to me, how are tips racist? What was that argument?
You know, one of the commenters said that tips are rooted from the days of emancipation. I mean, went back through this whole history that I've certainly never heard. And to be honest, and then another commenter said that, oh, well, we can show that, you know, people of color, servers of color, receive less tips than their white counterparts. Well, I'll tell you right now, we do a tip pool. So it's a completely colorblind tip pool, of course, that, you know, everyone receives an equal share of the tip pool based on the amount of hours that they work in the pay period, or that they worked in the pay period, in contrast to the whole, the total amount of hours worked. So it's a completely fair system, and that's not how every restaurant operates, although that's kind of the trend that we've seen restaurants moving toward. Keeps things more equitable, keeps the back of house in it, so there's not that back of house, front of house disparity between servers and cooks. And it's been a great system for us. We've done it for 5 years, and there's just no truth in that argument that there's racism in tips. It's a completely new argument for me. The last two meetings, nobody has made that argument, but they're running out of ammunition, and you know, that's always the last resort.
Hey, Thomas, real quick, you mentioned that pay up ordinance that obviously is not going well in Seattle and ended up costing a lot of people jobs. Was there any concern that you got from the council that even, you know, implementing something like this, it sounds nice to say that minimum wage is, what would this be, $20.29 an hour? But if it means people aren't going to have those jobs because those jobs go away, did you get a sense that they were concerned about those jobs disappearing at all, or were they more focused on being able to, you know, tout the high minimum wage?
Yeah, it's all about touting the high minimum wage. This is so clearly political to me, because there has been no substantive debate in public anyways about this issue. It's all about, we need to raise the wage, raise the wage, raise the wage. And there's just been very few dissension to that, unfortunately. And, you know, it really, to me, and especially based on the, you know, the attendance of all these different union members, it's all about padding the pockets of the unions to pad the pockets of the politicians.
And so, Thomas, people should,
time again.
Yeah. Thomas, people should know, here's why the unions care. When they start their contract negotiations from the minimum wage base. So whenever there's a change in minimum wage, they get to renegotiate contracts. So they say, okay, is the minimum wage 20? Great. Now, from 20, we start negotiating. So that's why the unions push so hard in CTAC when they pass that 15 now. Because the unions say, oh, good, raise it up to 15. We'll use 15 as the base, and then we'll go up from there. So the unions pay the politicians, they get elected, and then the politicians turn around and say to the unions, what do you want the minimum wage to be? So basically, that's the way we can force your contracts to be renegotiated so you can make more money. And who pays? The people that were flipping, making pizzas for you, they get laid off. But who cares? They're not in the union. And you get screwed as well, because don't forget, you're a white businessman and you're a racist at heart, because all white people are racist, let's face it. So this is the King County Council, folks. And what's the vote right now? If you do a quick take, what do you think? You got Reagan on your side. Who else do you think's on your side?
Reagan, I think we've got Pete von Reichbauer. Those are the only people who have been somewhat committed. Reagan especially is committed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, on this total compensation amendment, the ordinance is going to pass no matter what. I think it's a foregone conclusion based on the comments that the council members have given. But there is some leeway, I think, and pressure to be placed on some of these centrist, I guess, members. But for folks who live in Councilmember Perry's district, Rod Dombowski, Claudia Balducci, those are some of the folks that we're targeting that we think can be a champion for this. And, you know, I guess sorry to call them out on air, but those are the folks that we need to those are the folks we need to really place pressure on and tell them that this is not something that is good for our unincorporated communities.
Learn some economics.
There you go. Cascadia Pizza. Thomas Reinhardt, thanks a lot for coming on. Thanks for doing the work down there, King County Council.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine, these are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and down stairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
911, what's your emergency?
Someone on Marion Line said they kidnapped my son.
On September 12, 1995, McKay Everett disappeared from his home in Conroe, Texas.
There was no sign of forced entry. It was just as if McKay had walked out of his own free will.
And to this day, McKay's mother, Paulette, feels that justice was never truly served. Ransom is available now. Listen at ransompodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It went so long, we got to save our story about our cops going undercover. Brilliant. Was that Everett? These guys did this?
Yeah, it's Everett. It's a really great cold case sting. And they solve it in a way you wouldn't even believe.
Wow, big tease there.
Oh, that's a tease.
That's a tease. Yeah. All right. That minimum wage stuff, I feel bad for Thomas having to go in there, and then we hit him with the fact that tipping is racist. I was just looking online to see why people say that. And he's there trying to make money. It basically is this idea that anybody who's an employer is greedy and all the employees are being oppressed. It's classic Marxism, and all the employees are being oppressed by the employer, not getting paid enough. I remember when I worked at different restaurants when they would do the tip pooling thing where they put all the tips in. As soon as they started doing that, it was a little like socialism, because then you're like, oh, I don't have to work that hard.
Because it doesn't matter. You're going to get an equal portion of whatever dumpy amount of tips you're going to get that night.
Yeah. But if you used to get assigned the waiter, so you'd have the waiter would be assigned a busboy. So I was a busboy and I was 16 years old, and the guy's like, Curly, you're working with me tonight. Bust your ass, and we're gonna make a lot of money. So you're following behind him, and you're doing all the busing and stuff like that, and then at the end of the night, he tips out like 10%. But when they switched it to the pool, people just kind of hanging in the back, smoking cigarettes, because they didn't care. They're like, whatever, you go hustle. So everybody else, you know, they didn't have to work as hard because they knew, well, someone's going to work hard. There'll be enough tips in there.
But socialism failing to work as it always does.
It always does.
We talk about giving everybody something free and all of a sudden there's no food to eat. Hello. Anyway, 0-2.
Anyway.
I worked at a gas station, like a full pump gas station, full service, where you like run out there and you wear a little, you know, outfit and wipe the window and do all this stuff. And you would make pretty good tips.
Was it a sexy outfit? Was it sexy gas station attendant outfit?
It was sexy gas station, tiny shorts, all that kind of stuff. We had a lot of soccer moms drive through.
I don't know why. Like the little hats, the little foldable hat.
No. That's like a burger place.
Okay.
You mean like a little white paper hat?
Yeah.
No. Sexy. That's not. Mechanics don't wear that.
Okay.
But yeah, you'd make tips, and if you change the oil fast, you'd make extra money, and then. If you didn't, you wouldn't make money. I agree. I feel bad for this guy. He's gonna have to lose a bunch of employees because of this, and I don't think they care at all.
No, because it's justice. Whatever that is. By the way, are we watching what's happened over the UW? Is things starting to heat up over there, Joe?
I haven't seen much, although there was a group of Antifa people came because Charlie Kirk's doing a thing there tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So they were chasing Cho around with some umbrellas.
There's no such thing as Antifa. It's just an ideology. There is no such thing
as Antifa. Oh, yeah, my bad.
We also had some reports of some people showing up dressed all in black carrying cans of bear spray.
Yeah, that's the Antifa guys. They had the,
I don't know. I don't know if there's a lot of bears on campus.
Joe, there's no such thing as Antifa.
Well, they're Jonathan Cho antagonizers.
Okay, that's better. All right. George Soros needs to get them some more tents.